Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and this is your daily dose on all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, everybody, January 31st, the last show before the Super Bowl. Before we get into the Super Bowl, we're going to go over some top stories, including things on Terry Bradshaw, Juju Smith-Schuster, and interestingly, Kevin Colbert, Steelers GM. I'll go over some of the prop bets that are going into the Super Bowl weekend. So if you're a betting person or want to see if you can make some money on the last day of football, that'll be a note. And then the final segment will be my full breakdown of a Super Bowl preview. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, we made it to Friday. Oh, happy day. I'm so glad, even though I got to work tomorrow too. So it's going to be fine. But you guys don't have to. I hope that you're listening to this on a happy Friday. You're just thinking, all you're thinking about right now is getting home and having a good weekend and then figuring out what your party plan for the Super Bowl is. I'll be on Channel 11, The Final Word, after the game. So if you're in Pittsburgh, you can turn on your local NBC station, Channel 11, WPXI. I'll be on The Final Word panel summing up the Super Bowl, talking about Pittsburgh sports things there on television. If you're not in Pittsburgh, you can go to WPXI.com. They do a live stream where you can see whatever's on WPXI right there. So that should be Sunday night after the Super Bowl on WPXI. So just look out for that. But let's get into our stories of the day. Starting off with something lighthearted, we're going to go into Terry Bradshaw. Now, if you didn't see Terry Bradshaw, of course, you all know the former Steelers quarterback, Hall of Famer, first overall pick of the 1970 draft, and four-time Super Bowl champion, yada, 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 you know his resume. Well, it's been long public that this was his last season as an analyst on Fox Sports, Fox covering their games. But he apparently has a new TV venture. Terry Bradshaw's family is going to star in a new reality season, a series on E, which is just E! Exclamation point television network, basically, you know, entertainment news, such and such. But supposedly the working title for the series that hasn't been settled yet is The Bradshaw Bunch, but Taylor Haas has this story for DK Pittsburgh Sports. There was a release from E! that was giving viewers a peek into the Bradshaw family's day-to-day. They live in Oklahoma. They got a farm. They raise horses. And it was going to be basically Terry Bradshaw and his life with his wife, his kids, and their grandchildren, and how crazy their life is. Terry Bradshaw's always been an interesting individual. I think he's been funny at times. I think sometimes he goes in his own direction, and he's just wild. And that's kind of just who Terry Bradshaw always is. But, you know, he's also always been someone that's loved the limelight. He's had a weird relationship with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh loves Terry Bradshaw. Like, if he came back here, he'd be a king. But, you know, he dealt with a lot of criticism in his time in Pittsburgh. He didn't like that. And so, you know, for a long time, he didn't come back to Pittsburgh. He skipped a lot of the reunions, and he made it public when he came back to Pittsburgh years ago to be honored that, you know, he brought his daughters with him because he was afraid that he would get booed at Heinz Field. And I've never understood. I mean, there's obviously some you know, some trauma there. Just because people did used to, like, you know, hang him in effigy, like dolls of him, you know, at Three River Stadium, because he was bad when he started with the Steelers. But, you know, you'd think that after four Super Bowls and him being, you know, a king for the franchise, you know, that he would understand that he's beloved here in Pittsburgh by most fans. But good for him and his family that they got a show going on. So that's supposed to be coming up later this year. Terry Bradshaw, again, staying in the limelight. Other news, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, he's making his rounds on Super Bowl week in Radio Row and talking to different people. You know, he had an interesting little tidbit where he was on the Pat McAfee show. And he was talking about, they were joking around. He was talking about how he does play Madden and he throws the ball to himself. And it was a little weird conversation there. But there were some interesting tidbits I found. You know, Juju does a very good job at answering questions. And when he's on camera and when he's kind of out in public and kind of handling, you know, answering it the right way and saying what he needs to say. There was one time he got asked, well, you know, what happened, man? You know, the offense, the numbers dipped down. He said what any logical Steelers fan has been saying for about 4 months now. When you take away a Hall of Fame, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback and the most prolific wide receiver away from an offense, there's going to be problems. And that's exactly what happened with the Steelers offense. So no explanation there. But the big story for me was that Juju came out, and Brooke Pryor from ESPN had this story. Brooke joined the Steelers press corps in the middle of the season this year. She's been doing an excellent job. But she had this story on Juju Smith-Schuster where he was expressing concern for Antonio Brown. Now, you all know that Juju and Antonio Brown, when Juju first got there, they were celebrating, they were dancing together. Juju did all the right things, but it was obvious that the two left each other in a bad way. Antonio Brown, basically making it clear that he thought he should be the team MVP, and that was a problem when Juju won team MVP in 2018. Antonio Brown took several shots at him. And Juju Smith-Schuster kind of took, like, I'd say not silent, but sneak dissers. If you're familiar with rap culture, like, he would do things that kind of say, like, oh, I think that's a shot at Antonio, but that's not him naming Antonio. But Antonio has named him, he called him Boo Boo, Smith-Schuster and all that other stuff. So they've been doing things, but, Juju expressed concern. And I thought this was interesting what he said to Brooke. He was asked, when he was asked this in an interview with Pro Football Talk, he said, "It's different for sure. I'm concerned like you guys. It's a tough situation for a guy if you take away his job and his passion. Being a guy looking from the outside to the inside, he's definitely a different dude than who he was on the field." Juju kind of kept going on and was talking about how he was concerned for Antonio Brown. I think it's, good for him to do that. Juju right now is in the middle. He's 23 years old. He's not an icon, but he is a popularity. He has a lot of popularity in the city and around the league. He's got multiple endorsement deals. He's doing fine. If he wanted to, he could never talk about Antonio Brown again and be fine. So good for him to give concern to a guy that has scorned him several times over. But our top story of the day, real quick before we go to our first break, because it's not a long story, but I think it's an important one. But Kevin Colbert, on a report from Dale Lally from DKPittsburghSports.com, Kevin Colbert, there's a belief that according to Dale Lally's sources that Kevin Colbert will be returning next year as the Steelers' general manager. Now, for those who remember, Kevin Colbert was, the story came out last year that he's going to be year to year as far as his contracts. Now, GM's contract is generally over, his contract will be over after the NFL draft is over this season. So the 2020 draft technically would be gone if you wanted to be. But the sense that Dale's reporting is that Kevin Colbert wants to stay, and that he'll be back at least for next season. To me, this makes a lot of sense because Kevin Colbert, why would you not ride out not just Ben Roethlisberger's final years, but a couple years of this defense that you've now put together? He drafted Devin Bush. He brought in Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's the guy that picked Dupree and Watt and all these guys he's assembled a new defense that could potentially be great. It might be awesome for Kevin Colbert to stick around and get the fruit of his labors, because if they do make a big run next year and he left a little early, he probably would regret not being part of that team. So that's our top stories of the day. Gonna start talking about the Super Bowl right after this. All right, listen up, guys. You know you guys can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with Blue Chew. And that's BlueChew.com and blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's F-R-E-E, free. When you use our special promo code NFL, just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NFL, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, so before I get into actually breaking the game down, I was given some prop bets to talk about for the show. So if you're a person, if you're a gambling man or woman, I do not discriminate. I'm going to go over some of the bets that you can place down that might be profitable for you to check into. So for those who aren't familiar with prop bets, basically it's for all the people who want to have a little bit more fun on the Super Bowl with gambling, because, you know, there's, of course, predicting the game. Everyone predicts the game. But then there's, you know, little side things here and there. Who's going to score the first field goal? Who's going to win the coin toss? And there's some that are really ridiculous, but there's some that are kind of interesting and kind of fun, I think, would be kind of telling for both of these teams. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through some of these prop bets we got here before next segment I get into the official Super Bowl breakdown that I've been putting together. Just my look at the matchups and so on and so forth. But starting off, I'm going to go into, we're going to talk about field goals, total field goals for by both teams. Is you know, it's an interesting one. You know, this is a situation where I look at this and I see, you know, everyone knows the Chiefs are going to be high scoring, but I can really see the amount of field goals going up if, and this is the big thing, if the Niners are pressured. And I'm not saying pressured as far as pass rush. I'm saying pressured as far as being forced to score. If the Niners are able to limit the Chiefs and they're able to take away their passing game and they make life hard for Patrick Mahomes, that would make it harder for the. I think that would limit the game. That would slow the game down. That wouldn't be good for the prop bets unless you bet on more defensive side of things. But if you think the Chiefs are going to light up the scoreboard early and put the Niners behind, I think that's where you're going to see Jimmy Garoppolo have to be efficient. And, you know, he hasn't really, you know, he has Kittle, and Kittle's great and all that, but he hasn't really established a serious rapport with his receivers yet. And a lot of his receivers are young, you know, some are veterans that they've got, but I'm not sold that they would be able to finish in the red zone a whole lot in this game. And if this becomes a game where they need to participate in a shootout, well, then I think they're in a lot of trouble. But I also think that would be great for field goals, because if Jimmy Garoppolo isn't putting touchdowns on the board, the Niners are going to take field goals. Right now, it looks like there's an interesting money line here for if you go over 4.5 field goals, so 5 or more, it's plus 200. So for those who don't know money lines, whenever you're looking at a money line, if you see a plus, that means if you bet $100, you're going to get the amount that's listed there. So plus 200, if you bet $100, you're going to get $200 back on top of the money that you bet. But if you see a minus, you'll get it. It'll take that much amount of money to win $100. So the minus, if you bet that under 4.5 field goals are going to be made, you need to bet $275 to win $100. Which means you'd get, you know, a total $375 back when you get paid. But all that aside, There's some interesting things here. I honestly think this is gonna go. It's gonna go either way. If it's under 2.5 field goals, which is slated at plus 225, I think that means that the Niners and the Chiefs, like, there were some big plays hit, but both defenses kind of dug their teeth in and it didn't really, or dug their feet in. Ooh, work on the analogies, Chris. Yeah, I think that that would be because the defense is really dug in and they didn't allow as much ball movement. But I just see this game being about big plays. I see with the speed of the Chiefs and the playmakers available for the 49ers, I can see the Chiefs hitting some home runs on this game. And that's why I'm not so sure they're going to be the culprits of the field goals. I think it's going to be the Niners, if anybody. So if you want to go over 4.5, you can get that plus 200. That's fair. I'm not too sold. I'd be sticking around for the under 2.5. So two or less field goals in this game. I take that back, actually, because I look at this and I'm thinking with the Niners, I think the Niners are going to be forced to open it up a little bit. So actually, I'm gonna go with the over 4.5. I'm saying 5 field goals in this game. It's gonna be wild getting $200 there with my $100. All right, let's keep moving up the list here. We got Kansas City's touchdowns. There's always silly bets. I don't like to get into the silly bet, like who's going to win the coin toss, and if this coin toss wins it, I don't care about that. I do care about how many touchdowns get scored in this game. And for the Chiefs, there's an interesting bet that you can bet the exact number of touchdowns. Now, all of these bets would win you good money because this is hard to predict the exact amount of touchdowns. If the Chiefs, zero touchdowns gets you 1,600, that's just, if that happens, it's going to be an amazing defensive performance, and that's all we'll be talked about for the next year. One touchdown gets you plus 500, two touchdowns plus 300, three touchdowns plus 270, and that's like the lowest that it gets there. After that, it starts dipping back up. Four touchdowns, 370, five touchdowns, 650, and six or more is 750. I don't think they're going to go Baltimore Ravens on them, or not Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans on them, and put up another 50 burger on anybody. But I do think it's safe to say this offense will put up points. So if you want to go in the 3-4 range, I think that's a good move. I know they're at least going to get three in this game. I have a hard time seeing the Niners keep them off the board that much. Five touchdowns. I'm not so sure about that, but I think four touchdowns is the safe bet there. Let me know what you guys are thinking. Hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you're a betting person, let me know what you're looking at. Niners touchdowns, a little different because of how their offense is built. Same numbers to start, 1,600 for no touchdowns, 500 for one, 300 for two, 270 for three. But then on the way up, four touchdowns gets you 350 instead of 370. Five touchdowns gets you 700 because they just don't believe that the Niners could do that. I think the Niners, if they're going to win this game, they're going to need to keep this from being a shootout. They do not want to get into a 39-38 game like they did with the Baltimore Ravens. They want to make this a 24-21 type of game. Keep Pat Mahomes on the bench as long as possible. Run the football. Control the clock. If you're a Niners fan, if you're pulling for the Niners, lay money on that on that three touchdowns. It's the lowest amount, but I think that's the amount of touchdowns. If they want to win, that's right around where they want to keep the scoring there. As far as total touchdowns, for the Chiefs, if you want to go, they say if you want to go over two and a half, it's going to be minus 190, which means you only need to bet $190 to get 100. I'd say that's a gimme. I think that the Chiefs, there's no way you keep them off the board that much in the game for only two touchdowns. The Niners, interesting, over 3.5. So four or more touchdowns for the Niners gets you 150. I think three is their sweet spot just for the way that they play off, the way that they play offense and the way that they want this game to go. They do not want to score quickly and keep putting up points. I mean, technically you do want to keep putting up points, but if you're putting up points, I have a hard time thinking that Pat Mahomes isn't putting up points. So there's that. Moving forward with the list. Now these are always interesting. The who scores first and who scores and who scores last. So you can go through each of the teams and their respective playmakers, and who gets to score what. And this is always something that it's nice to hit a lottery on and just think like, oh man, I can make money off of this. But this also comes into how good of a fantasy player are you? Because how many times, if you're a fantasy owner, you may have owned Tyreek Hill and that was great, but if you owned anyone else on that Chiefs offense that wasn't Travis Kelce or Pat Mahomes or Tyreek Hill, you were frustrated this year because Mahomes just distributed the football. Sammy Watkins had three touchdowns in the beginning of the season and then never had another one until the playoffs. And Mecole Hardman would light it up one week and be gone the next. Darwin Thompson, same thing. Damian Williams, same thing. It was so tough to predict. Even Byron Pringle had some tough spots. That's where I think that it's tough to predict, but I'd say if you're going to say the guy who scores the first touchdown, and I think this is involving crossing the goal line, so Pat Mahomes throwing the touchdown wouldn't count for this. I think it'd be interesting money to put it on to put it on Mecole Hardman just for his speed, getting behind the defense. And it's plus 1,200 for Mecole Hardman. You can get plus 1,600 for DeMarcus Robinson. But with his speed, and also you got to think with Mecole Hardman, if he gets a return, he could do damage with that. That guy, I think that one guy misses in the way that the Niners play defense. They love that cover three look. They love to play those guys deep. If he hits a seam, I just think that's a huge ticket. There's no way the Niners don't try to take away Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but I think Hardman could slip by. So that's my bet for the Chiefs. For the Niners, it's kind of interesting because they have a similar situation with their backfield, right? You know, Tevin Coleman was their guy for quite some bit. Then Matt Breida had a couple big weeks, and Raheem Mostert got the huge story. He had over 200 yards in the NFC Championship game. You couldn't pick a running back for the Niners in fantasy this year because they were all over the place. Similar with their wide receivers. You know, they have Emmanuel Sanders now, but, you know, how much are they relying on that? Jimmy Garoppolo threw like 200 yards through the entire playoffs. Dante Pettis didn't turn out to be the way he was supposed to this year. Deebo Samuel, I think, is a promising young receiver. But at the same time, can you count on the rookie being the guy that gets the first points on the board, especially with the way the Chiefs are playing? Pro Football Focus brought up an interesting stat that showed Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, the safety for the Chiefs, had the lowest passer rating while being targeted or something like that. He had the best numbers of while being targeted, and right behind him was Stephon Gilmore and Joe Hayden. So I'm not so sold that George Kittle is going to get the first touchdown in this game, just because I think the Chiefs are going to try and take him away and force Jimmy Garoppolo to win with his arm outside the numbers to other guys. It'll be an interesting matchup. If I'm picking anyone for the Niners, I'm going to go with Mostert because I think they're going to really try to impose this ground game on the Chiefs. That's what they want to do, the control of the clock. They might get an early score or two, but I have a hard time seeing them, you know, making a big play through the air. I think the Chiefs are going to say, hey, you're going to try and run that ball, but we're going to try and shut it down. And I don't see the Chiefs being a team that just lets George Kittle run all over them. And last touchdowns of the game, those are always tricky. You can make big money off of them as well. I think those are the main prop bets that I sometimes look to. I'm going to be right back after these messages, and then we're going to actually get to talking about the game itself and who I have to win and who you have to win. Had a poll up in the Facebook group. We'll get to that next. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on all the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win than mybookie.ag. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you can get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. Once again, the promo code is Locked On, LOCKEDON, and you'll be able to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer that gives you half of your deposit all the way up to $1,000. Visit mybookie.ag today. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, let's get down to the big stuff. Super Bowl 54. Niners versus the Chiefs. Sunday at 6:30. Now, it's really interesting. You look at the who's favored here. The Chiefs are only favored by 1.5 points. That's how even Vegas has this stuff. And I'm getting this from our people at mybookie.ag from their sports book. But right now, it's at 1.5 point favorites. That's nothing. That means that's literally eight. That means this is a coin flip. There's no room for error here. But man, you look at that and the money line itself. It's, you know, you got to bet $100, bet 115 to win $100 for the Chiefs. You got to bet 105 to $100 for the Niners. This is dead even. There's not a whole lot going on here that I'd see that Vegas is saying, oh, we lean one way or lean the other. All the metrics that they use says this is going to be a toss-up game. But I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, man, I have my reasons. Now, if you follow me on other platforms, if you see what I do for DKPittsburghSports.com, I have my on Morning Java this week and our show Sports on Tap. I've made it clear I'm picking the Chiefs. They are my pick to win the Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes has too much of a cannon. He's got too much speed on offense with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Pringle and Hardman and Williams. They've just got so much speed. And then, you know, and then Pat Mahomes can run with the football. It's pretty crazy what they can do. But on top of that, you saw the Chiefs defense took on the Titans, who plowed their way through the Patriots and plowed their way through the Ravens. But they didn't do that to the Chiefs. I don't see the Niners controlling the trenches the way they did against the Packers. The Packers are built where have been trying to build their team for years. Now, granted, LaFleur just got there. He's figuring things out. But they've been trying to build that defense on rushing the passer and covering the pass. They're not a run-stuffing defense. That's one thing that they have not invested in. It's why I was not picking them at any point in the playoffs to actually do anything serious. You know, the only thing that had me even thinking they would beat the Niners maybe was thinking like, you know, maybe the Jimmy Garoppolo messes up. But just the way that if the Packers run this game, I think it'd be more fun because you'd see Rodgers versus Mahomes. But if this ended up being like Packers versus Ravens, I think the Ravens should have been like 21-point favorites because the Packers would have just been run out the building. But the Niners don't get run out the building. But covering the pass is going to be interesting. The Niners love to run that cover three defense where they stick their corners on both on either side. Richard Sherman plays to his scheme. And there's some interesting debate about how good is Richard Sherman because he sticks to one assignment. He doesn't follow people around the field because he doesn't stick with the number one guy wherever he goes. You know, you play what you're assigned. And if you're great at what you're playing, what you're assigned, that makes you great. Now, does it make you a badder man if you follow guys around? I think it does add some more credibility to it. But, you know, Vince Williams was talking about this last week was that, you know, people don't understand how many times the coaches, they put you in a place, in a position to win, and you don't win. And I think Richard Sherman has been great because he's been put in the right situations to win, and he's often come out on top. And he's been a guy that you could rely in doing the job that he's assigned to do. And I think that still makes him great. Now, the question is here, with the way that they play at cover three defense, and for those who don't understand cover three, you got three guys that on, you know, you got one guy in the middle of the field, one guy covering the right sideline, one guy covering the left sideline. Each of them is responsible for what's called a deep third, which means no one can get behind them on their third of the field. The Chiefs have so much speed. It's going to take each of those guys being extremely responsible. And if they're too cautious, if they're too far backed off, Pat Mahomes will rip you apart underneath. That's where I have a hard time seeing the Niners really take advantage of this game. And my thing for the Niners is they have to get pressure, and they can get pressure. Joey Bosa, D. Ford, Buckner, all their guys up front, they can cause havoc, but they can't just force Pat Mahomes to run around. Knocking him off his launch spot. This isn't Joe Flacco. This is Pat Mahomes. You know, if you knock Flacco off his launch spot, he's in trouble. Mahomes doesn't have a launch spot. That's the problem. He likes to throw on the run. He likes to move and dive and throw a sidearm pass for 40 yards. He's ridiculous. They got to bring him down. They actually got to get to him and bring him down. That's where I see the Niners having problems in this game. I'm leaning to the Chiefs here. I'm saying in the spirit of 34 27. I think this is going to be close. I think it's going to be close. I think that the Niners will make this a good game. They'll have some big plays. They might even get a defensive touchdown in this game. But I just see that the Chiefs, they got too much firepower. They're going to build up a lead, and the Niners are going to try to storm back. They'll make it close, but then they won't be able to get an onside kick or something like that, and they're going to end up losing by 7 with the Chiefs' defense closing it out by the onside kick recovery or stopping the Niners on a big drive when Jimmy Garoppolo just not being able to finish it. I put this poll out in the Facebook group, and this is why you should join the Facebook group if you're not in it. We have a lot of fun in there. We have some funny conversations, some fun conversations. You interact with me, myself, and Tony. Not me, myself, and I. I'm not that vain. So I looked at the poll. I posted the poll for today's show, and I said, who you guys got winning? We had one person, Scott Johnston, who said, not Tom Brady. Good on you, Scott. You win the award for the day. You won the poll. Great job. That's the best answer. Not Tom Brady. You are certainly correct, Scott. Tom Brady not winning the Super Bowl. We had a few people that said the football ended in week 17. Listen, I hear you. The pain is real. But football never ends. It's 24/7, 365. You think it's Super Bowl? I'm going to be done? No, because that's when I really ramp up my draft stuff. I'll be getting to a lot of draft stuff for you guys this year. I do this every year for different things, so you guys get to be front seat for a lot of my draft research. Anyways, moving up, the overwhelming majority voted for the Chiefs. And, it was more than, I think it was like 60%, 70%. Jeez, yeah. But the Chiefs were just the by far. We have a few people that think the Niners. And listen, defense does win championships, and the Niners have the best defense on the field. But the Chiefs also have a good defense. They're bolstered. Frank Clark, Terrell Suggs, those guys ain't no joke. Chris Jones is a bad man in the middle of their defensive line. The Niners have good running, good linebackers, and Fred Warner, and you got Quan Alexander's back. Greenlaw's been very good for them. But you look at the Chiefs. Honey Badger, man, Tyrann Mathieu, he's been a bad man at safety. I just say, Pro Football Focus said he was the best when targeted this year of any defensive back in the NFL. And you had Juan Thornhill, a guy, if you were listening to the show last year, Tony and I were hyping Juan Thornhill up to the highest degree. He was our guy. Like, we wanted them to draft him. And look where he is now. He's starting on a defense that's in the Super Bowl. I just think that the matchups for the Chiefs favored them. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is just going to be able to sit back and let Raheem Mostert run for 200 yards in this game. He's going to have to make some plays, and that's where he's going to start making his mistakes. And Garoppolo makes some plays. He's going to put some points up. He's going to make some good reads. He's a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's not, but let's not forget, this team was one James Conner fumble away from losing to Mason Rudolph in his first ever start in the NFL. That's where I have a problem seeing the Niners. And that was in San Francisco. And yes, they had players injured. And yes, it was early in the season. But and that teams do morph and improve throughout a year. I just have a hard time seeing that offense that couldn't pull away from that being able to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. And I have a hard time seeing that defense not giving up at least a few of those big plays. And when a few of those big plays break loose, then you start to see how serious they are. I don't think the Niners got really tested in the NFC playoffs. I think they lucked out by not having to play the Saints. Though the Vikings earned their right to be there. They beat the Saints fair and square. You could talk about the push-off or whatever that Kyle Rudolph had. But I think they lucked out by not having a rematch with the Saints. The Vikings were not a real threat to them. The Packers were the perfect storm. Or the Niners with a perfect storm to destroy the Packers and expose their horrible run defense. I don't think the Chiefs have that weakness, and I think they have the weapons to overpower what the Niners have done this season. So, I agree with the majority of the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers. Search Facebook right now for Locked On Steelers. You can join the group. You can ask to join the group. I'm the admin. I'll add you guys as fast as possible so you can interact with us and talk to everyone. We have a lot of great people in there, hundreds of loyal listeners. Thanks to all those who participated in the poll. We'll see if we're right, people. Maybe you're winning some big bucks. Mike Medina, a loyal listener and a guy that's followed me since my behind the steel curtain days. He said he's going to be winning money thanks to what Casey's been doing. I hope that you guys are ready to have some fun this Super Bowl weekend. Like I said, if you want to check me out on TV Sunday night, in fact, I'll be doing that right after I probably record the show for Monday. But Sunday night, I'll be on WPXI Channel 11 talking about the Super Bowl. I'll probably be with Mark Madden, John Steigerwald, or Dejan Kovacevic, whoever's on that show that night. Thanks to all those who are listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. It's been a fun season. Don't worry, we'll be having a lot to talk about. I'm going to be getting you ready for the combine as soon as the Super Bowl's done. Got a lot of things to look forward to. If you like this podcast, please hit the subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review and a positive comment. Those things really help the show get out there and for more people to interact with it. Shout out to our new 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. MW Pomey gave me a 5-star review saying, great podcast for any Steelers fan. Chris's knowledge for the Steelers present as well as their history lets him provide some great context for his analysis, full of fresh, well-reasoned takes from start to finish. Thank you, MW Pomey. You are a great person. I'm not going to presume that you're a man or woman. I almost said his or her. I don't do that here, but 5 stars, appreciated. If you give me a 5-star review, I'll read your review out on this show as well. Thanks to all those who are in the show. If you want to read more of my work, you can read me at dkpittsburghsports.com, or if you sign up for just 99 cents, you get a trial month. I do my Carter's Classroom column where I break down film throughout the week. I'll be getting you ready for the NFL draft. We also have great beat coverage where people are in the locker rooms. If you love Pittsburgh sports, we cover the Steelers, we cover the Pirates, we cover the Penguins, we even cover the University of Pittsburgh. We do it all here at dkpittsburghsports.com. Check us out for just 99 cents. You can also follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Hit me up during the Super Bowl, y'all. I'll be talking on social media during the game, having fun with it. Hope you will be too. I'll catch y'all Monday.